Spend 20 minutes in any neighborhood Portland bar, scroll through your Facebook feed, and it won't take long before you encounter somebody discussing the changes new arrivals are bringing to this once sleepier town. Primarily, the demise of old, beloved places and the rise of cookie-cutter condos. These conversations invariably lead to someone blaming the explosion in rental and home prices and replacement of old bars, restaurants, venues, and buildings on one thing, an influx of tech money. But is it legit to scapegoat a faceless crowd of quote-unquote tech people? Yes and no. Let's go back to 2012. Picture a dankly lit, generic conference room filled with youngish guys in t-shirts and khakis. The conference room is in a hotel in the San Francisco Bay Area. Skip Newberry, president of the Technology Association of Oregon, is standing at the front of the small assembled crowd. A tech event ID badge dangles around his neck. Look up behind Skip. It's Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein of Portlandia peering down from a photo projected onto a screen. The iconic Old Town White Stag sign emanates a warm glow in the photo's background. Newberry tells the audience he and his colleagues are there to talk about the, quote, quiet renaissance happening in Portland, the growth of software development, and why Portland's the place to start a business or come and work. This was a session at the Puppet Labs Conference, an annual event held by the rapidly growing software firm which moved from Nashville to Portland in 2009 and has since quickly expanded its footprint here. The session was aptly named, Why You Should Move to Portland. Evidently, Fred and Carrie were part of the draw. Jared Weiner, industry liaison at the Portland Development Commission, also made the trip to California to help tout Portland as the place for tech entrepreneurs to advance their careers.
You know, if that's not enough for why you should move to Portland, there's plenty of other reasons as well. So there is this great tech culture that exists there, but you also have Mount Hood, which has skiing year-round, and that's only 90 minutes away. You have the beach, which is even shorter distance away. And that's the bottom picture. You have the Columbia Gorge here, which is about 25 minutes outside the city. And so you have all these amenities that are really close to Portland. And if that's not enough, you guys have probably heard about the beer scene there in Portland. There's more beer festivals than there are months in the year. It has the most number of breweries of any city in the world, not just the U.S. And then you also have a good wine country as well. There's over 360 wineries in Oregon, most of them within an hour's drive of Portland. So you have beer, you have wine, you have a craft coffee culture that's developing there as well, and Stumptown and some other coffee companies as well. So you have all these amenities that you can get in a large city, but you also have the small town feel that really sort of speaks to what Portland is.
As the software industry expands, bringing with it people lured from pricier enclaves by Portland's promise of bike commutes, proximity to the great outdoors, food carts and cutting-edge cuisine, locally crafted brews, and a place nearby for the dog to run, some longtime Portlanders are leery of the change they represent.
Certainly, I think, you know, for anybody who's lived in Portland for a long time, it's like you walk around and it's starting to seem different, and you want to know why. That's really the question, and you have to point at something, right?
That's James McDermott. He's CEO and co-founder of Portland software startup Lytics. And unlike the tech entrepreneur stereotype, he grew up in Oregon. Perhaps more in line with that stereotype, though, he lived in San Francisco from 1993 to 2001 before moving back here. The PDC and Technology Association of Oregon along with Business Oregon and others, have funded efforts to woo tech entrepreneurs and to recruit tech employees to Portland. According to the Oregon Office of Economic Analysis, all of the high-tech industry growth in the past 10 years has been in software rather than hardware. So, in other words, it's no longer hardware firms like Intel, one of Oregon's largest employers, that are leading tech growth. Software is where it's at. And the bulk of Oregon's software growth has happened in and around Portland. Puppet Labs, that company that had the event in SF, it has more than 300 employees in Portland and lots of job openings here. It's among the city's larger young tech firms, most of which seem tiny compared to the behemoths in San Jose, Cupertino, and Seattle. But in addition to homegrown Portland companies such as mobile firm Urban Airship and video tech firm Elemental Technologies, Bay Area outfits including Google, eBay, and Airbnb have opened offices here, injecting hundreds of software engineers, sales execs, and others into the Portland scene. Amazon bought Portland's Elemental in 2015 and is readying its future headquarters in the renovated former home of the Oregonian on Southwest Broadway. The four floors being beautified could house several hundred employees, many of whom have yet to be hired. Okay, not everybody moving to Portland is in tech, and the residents of all those new condos popping up around town and the people buying those increasingly pricey homes are not all in tech. But as local government helps fuel the software boom here, it's worth exploring the connection. Are tech industry recruits really making that much more money? Well, according to the Oregon Office of Economic Analysis, the average high-tech wage in 2015 in Oregon was $104,000. That's more than twice as high as the statewide average wage. It's even more striking when you compare it to the average high-tech wage here in the 70s, which was just 10% higher than the average wage. And an influx of tech workers has been known to raise home prices. In June 2015, real estate site Redfin looked at its home price data in relation to hiring at Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google in cities including Denver, Austin, and Portland. It found that every time there was a 1% gain in tech workers, home prices rose 0.5% over the national rate of appreciation. James McDermott.
So, I don't know what the right answer is. I think there aren't enough units that are available at an appropriate cost to keep the diversity of Portland at a level that will, you know, maintain, I think, the city that, you know, I love and I think everybody who lives here loves as well.
Some tech execs interviewed about this topic have an easy answer. Cities change, they say. It happens everywhere. Deal with it. But is that a reasonable response, especially from people who are helping facilitate that change?
I don't think there's any perfect solution, but just sort of standing back and saying, hey, you know, it's change and this is kind of how it goes, that seems pretty defeatist. I think coming from San Francisco, I lived in San Francisco from 1993 to 2001, and it's a very different city than today than it was when I lived there. And I think a lot of the heart and soul of the city has been stripped out. And I don't want that to happen to Portland. And I don't know if it's the tech community that's done that, but certainly the economic diversity has declined significantly. And when I, you know, when I lived there from 93 to 2001, I was able to afford an apartment. I mean, when I first moved there, I think our apartment was $600 a month. You know, it's just that's not the case anymore. And when you walk around the city today, it just has a completely different feel. So I think that it's incumbent on every citizen of Portland to decide, what kind of city do we want? I mean, this is the right moment to talk to politicians and the Portland Development Commission and the mayor's office, certainly, and say, hey, we want a different kind of city.
Not all local tech execs are as sympathetic or concerned about the impact of their industry, though. One CEO of a small 25-employee firm that moved from SF to Portland a few years ago, after his company was effectively priced out there, said bluntly, I have a hard time with people bellyaching, honestly. I know that's not the politically correct thing to say, he added. His conclusion was one that seems to be a pretty common refrain among a lot of tech entrepreneurs asked about this issue. Quote, cities change, that's the way it's always been, unquote. The CEO, he didn't agree to a recorded interview, continued that as a business owner of a small firm, there's nothing he can do personally. He said he is unapologetic about the fact that he has helped people afford homes, enable wives of his employees to stay home with the kids, or even for his staff to simply rent their own apartments for the first time. People who are getting priced out need to be more resourceful and entrepreneurial, he suggested.
What Portland is doing now is only new and that it's suddenly moving a lot quicker than it has before. But I do think that Portland has been doing this for a while. We just haven't noticed until recently.
Tammy Wood grew up on Portland's west side. Her dad was a commercial photographer and her mom a writer. Today, she is the community lead at the Jaguar Land Rover Tech Incubator here in Portland, where she organizes events and helps foster bonds between the Auto Tech Lab and organizations such as Association of Latino Professionals for America and Women in Technology, Coding, and Hacking.
We're starting to lose those institutions. Slabtown, you know, Quality Pie went away years ago. We're getting ready to lose the VQ, the Lotus. We're losing all those staples that a lot of us who are unhappy about the changes in Portland grew up with. And that's really hard. You get sad. You get angry. But there's also, I think there has to be the logic that a lot of the people who are really unhappy about what Portland is doing came here for the same reasons that people are coming here now. So it's kind of like the guy who gets mad that suddenly everybody likes his quirky band that he discovered like 10 years ago. And so you can't fault people for wanting to be here and come here and move to Portland. You can get angry that it's driving housing problems up or housing prices up for sure. But I do think that Portland is a dynamic city and that's why we love it like we do.
Tech is an easy scapegoat for most people who aren't from tech. Stephen Green, community director at venture capital firm Elevate Capital, said in an interview. He added, quote, it's very easy to identify tech as them, not us, white collar, not blue collar. Green founded Oregon Public House, which bills itself as the nation's first nonprofit brew pub. It's a tavern on Deakum Street in Northeast Portland that asks patrons to donate a portion of their bill to local charities, like One Tail at a Time, an all-breed no-kill dog rescue group, and Urban Farm Collective, which turns vacant lots into neighborhood gardens. Green is one of many involved in local tech who believe that Portland's newcomers bring with them, quote, new culture and perspective. That may be true, but what kind of culture and perspective do they infuse? As places like Rock Venue The Know and Independent Publishing Resource Center get priced out of their neighborhoods, one can't help but wonder if newcomers want to help maintain the rich culture that's been fostered here over several decades, or if they'd rather replace it with pricey gift shops and ice cream emporiums. When its rent spiked 300% in July, Hajara Quinn, operations coordinator at Independent Publishing Resource Center, told The Oregonian, quote, when the organizations are priced out, individual artists are also priced out. I think it's important to remember that breweries and boutiques aren't the height of Portland culture. Beer and retail aren't the heart of this city. Artists are, unquote. Sean Davis ran for Portland mayor this year. He spends a lot of time on Alberta Street. He was in the Army and Oregon National Guard and now serves as post commander at the American Legion. Just down the street from the Know on Alberta, the Legion Post 134 kind of looks like a big old red barn. A curmudgeonly grandpa eyeing the nearby hipster eateries, Salt and Straw, Bollywood Theater, and Little Big Burger, with wariness.
People of Portland, as Portlanders, we didn't all get together and vote to become some kind of a global economic force. You know, we want to be Portland, and they want us to be Portland. You're talking about Alberta Street, and our building, the one that I run, was given to us in 1949, and it's changed very little. I mean, you go in there, and you feel like you're in the late 80s, 90s Portland, you know. And we own that building, but we're one of the only buildings on that street that we actually own it. And honestly, we're only one of the only businesses on that street that's owned by Oregonian.
Fair, many of Portland's newbies, some of them recruited by tech firms, don't frequent rock and roll dives like The No, and they never heard of X-Ray Cafe or Mel Brown, and those Fred and Tootie, not Fred and Carrie bumper stickers went totally over their heads. But are there things tech companies and their leaders, people who, fairly or unfairly, are scapegoated for facilitating the demise of the very culture they promote in order to attract software developers and coders to this place? Are there things they can do to foster real bonds with communities that existed long before they got here? And perhaps more important, do they care? Or should they?
The affordability question is one that's really hard to approach because there doesn't seem to be an easy answer. And if you ask anyone what the problem is, I think they have a different answer. So, and I think a lot of technology folks would say, you know, this is a government issue. But, you know, if you read the strategic plan that the city has just put together, I mean, one of the key premises and one of the assets is a vibrant startup community. And to keep that going, we need to have an affordable place for people to move to and live and start building a family. That's one of the reasons why we have so many great, and talented people moving here, is because they leave the Bay Area or they leave New York because they want to start a family and they want to buy a house and they want to, but they still want to work in an industry and in a competitive industry where they, you know, they're challenged. So, you know, in short, yes, I think that the technology people here in Portland would welcome the dialogue and would try and figure out, you know, how to solve the problem and or at least just have the discussion.
Tammy Wood of Jaguar Land Rover agreed that local tech firms should be involved.
Yes, I do. I don't think that otherwise they're just coming in and raping and pillaging our city. I absolutely believe that they should have a part, that they should actively take part in helping keep Portland a great place. Maybe those reasons will change. Maybe it's not going to stay as quirky and weird. But I do think that we need to retain the value of what this city offers its residents, for sure. And I think that those companies should be playing a part in that.
James McDermott from Lytics.
Portland needs to create its new identity. And I think that as an entrepreneur in this city and having lived here now for 10 years or more, you know, I want to be a part of figuring out what that new identity is, and I want to make sure that we do it consciously. You know, it's I don't want to live in a city where, you know, librarians and teachers can't afford to live there and raise their kids there. That's not the kind of place where I want to be.
54, 54, 54, 54, 40 a bite! Lyra!
This is Kate Kay, a.k.a. Calamity Kate, reporting for X-Ray.